and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, New Zealand's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz. Tonight we chat with Audiobooks New Zealand, a unique New Zealand innovation and success story, and we're chatting with the founder, Theo Gibson. Plus we're heading to Christchurch to the Bread and Circus Buskers Festival to chat with Imogen from Laser Kiwi and Biggest Little Circus. And in the studio we have a very special guest. He needs no introduction, as our opening song will simply give it away. That song needs no introduction. We've obviously got a special guest in the studio tonight, Emma.
We have. We've got Jared Shurtcliffe. Hi, Jared.
Hi.
Great to have you here. And obviously, you are Mr. Elvis.
Yeah. I guess, if you want to call me that.
So we're going to be chatting to Jared throughout the show. But first, we've got another special guest who we're going to chat to. So, Elvis, you get to relax. You've been busy performing all day. Put your feet up. Relax. I don't know what Elvis would drink.
Don't know. What does Elvis drink?
I don't even know myself, to be honest. I'm going to say water for now.
Water for now, all right. Water.
Wow, wow. Oh, Gatorade. You like Gatorade.
There you go.
Brilliant. Good week, Emma?
Yeah. Chilling a lot.
Nice.
Netflix binging.
Nice. Needed. Much needed. Mm. And both you and I caught up with Patrick and India's show last night at the Pump House.
We did. Not last night, Friday night.
Oh, time flies when you're having fun. Yes, true.
We did.
And they're performing their last show tonight.
They will have almost finished. Look at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good on them, eh? See young people up there hiring a venue, doing their first sort of
thing.
Solo gig, literally thing.
Yeah.
And we finally found out that it was a mixture of music and comedy and stories.
It was definitely a thing.
It was.
Yep.
So well done, guys. Great to see. Now, on the phone, Emma, we have the very talented Theo Gibson, who's going to chat to us all about Audiobooks New Zealand. Good evening, Theo. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here on a Sunday night. And it was really interesting because Karen sends us lots of wonderful media releases about different books coming up and what to promote. Yours was really different because, of course, it's not just one book that we're here to talk about.
No, we do lots of them.
Yeah. So you're the founder of this. Tell us, you know, for our listeners, what is Audiobooks New Zealand?
Yeah, well, basically, we started out as an audiobook production house. So, I mean, I've been an audiobook listener probably for the last 15 years or something like that, and I've always loved a good audiobook. And I was just really aware that there weren't many New Zealand audiobooks being made, and I thought it was probably time that someone did something about that, so cool. I decided to do something. And, so we started out as an audiobook production house, and we've kind of evolved. So now we've got a whole platform like Audible or any of the big guys. We've got over 270,000 books now on offer that people can download and listen to. So
we're
the whole shebang now, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Audible's been doing some pretty big publicity lately. So how do you compete with the big guns? You know, you've got the Prime Minister's husband and the adverts.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Audible's a great service, and I guess what people don't really realise about Audible is a lot of their stuff is available everywhere else as well.
Mm.
A lot of their stuff tends to be American and UK based. I mean, there's not really a huge variety in terms of other countries putting stuff out there. I mean, to put something on Audible, you have to be based in the US or UK.
Oh, right.
So we've got a huge selection, you know, and it allows us to put up New Zealand content and give something back to the authors. Audible don't tend to pay a lot.
So, hi Theo, Emma here.
Hi.
So tell us your... Who do you get to do your voices? Like, let me try and speak proper English tonight. Do the books have different voices, or is it one person reading a whole book, or how does it work?
Yeah. So normally it's one narrator per book. I mean, that's generally what people are used to, and they kind of like. I mean, in the perfect world, if we had budgets, we could do a mini voice cast, you know, for an audio book, but. Generally, it's one narrator, and we tend to use actors because they're kind of used to reading off the page and doing characters, and it allows us to get in the studio and get through them quite quickly. Whereas we often get, parents or just people randomly ringing up going, look, I've got a great voice. I would be an amazing audiobook narrator. And they just don't realise how hard it is, because it's quite demanding to be in a recording studio for 4 hours reading off the page and keeping that consistent.
Definitely, yeah. Keeping that energy up so that people want to keep listening. And have you found now with podcasts and things like that, has the kind of people that are your listenership changed? Do you think now that technology and listening to things like podcasts is more of a thing?
Yeah, I think it has. Like, I went into this thinking that I would be, our customer base would be mainly in the kind of 50s to 50s plus age group. But actually, from the statistics we're seeing off our platform, we're it's more in the kind of 18 to 45, so the people who are listening now. And I think that is partly because of podcasts. Everyone's used.
No, we may.
You know, when you're at the gym, or, you know, there's so many times in your day when you can listen to stuff. And podcasts are great, but sometimes it's nice to really get sink teeth into an audiobook.
Yeah. I mean, we found with our listenership, you know, we're going out live tonight, but we're a podcast available after the show, and our higher listenership is definitely podcasts. People stuck in Auckland traffic might as well listen in. So what's your background that led to this? Tell us your journey.
Yeah, so I mean, I originally started in film and television, really. I trained as a sound engineer about 20 years ago, and actually trained in Australia, and then came back to New Zealand and started working in education at the Tech for Performing and Screen Arts department, it was called then. And I kind of worked as a technician and then became a video editing lecturer. And then did theatre and AV design for theatre, and I've kind of done a lot of things since then. But my main goal was always to kind of get back into the audio side of it. I've always kind of loved podcasts from the very, very early days of, like, the Radiolab podcast, or there's a few kind of key ones that have been around for a very long time. And, I just finally got back to that place where I was like, now's the time to start this. So,
cool.
Yeah, that's right.
And am I right? It's like a subscription service. We sign on up and we subscribe from there. Do we pay per book? How does it all work?
It's very similar to what people are used to. I mean, we offer both services, so you can pop in there and you can buy one book. you know, you don't have to be locked into a subscription. You can just buy the one book you want to listen to. But if you sign up and you subscribe, it's obviously cheaper and you get more value for your dollar. So you can you get one book credit a month, and that book credit can be used to buy any book.
Cool. Do you have a top pick? What's the top one everyone's listening to at the moment?
I'm really sorry to say I'm not listening to a New Zealand audiobook at the moment. I'm actually listening to Ready Player 2, which has just been released, which is very well done. But my top pick is one that, out of the New Zealand books we've done so far, is one that we're just about to release. So it's going to be kind of coming into stores in about the next week, which is called Finding Solo. And it's by Lynn Patterson, who's a woman who kayaked around New Zealand for about 14 months.
Yep.
And that's an amazing story. So I'm really looking forward to that one coming in.
Well, I'll also be keen on Barry Crump's Wild Pork and Watercress. I reckon that's definitely a way to pass traffic.
Yes, it's very funny, and it's read by his son, Martin Crump, who is just, you know, I think he captures his dad very well.
That's so cool. All right, where do people head to sign on up or find out more?
Sure, yeah, so you just head over to our website, audiobooksnz.co.nz, and they can head over there and they can subscribe, or if they're interested in making an audiobook or talking to us about making an audiobook, there's a button there that they just hit, make a book and get in touch with us, and we can help them with that as well.
That's really cool. That's a bit different.
I'd be keen to do that.
Yeah. Long-term goals, where do you want to see this, Theo?
Look, I just want to up the amount of production we can do. You know, I'm really looking, this year's my kind of goal is to just really join forces with some local publishers and local generators of content, whether they're authors or publishers, and really kind of pump out a lot of really great New Zealand titles and get them out to the world. That's kind of my goal for this year.
That is awesome. Well, we'll make sure up on our Kickart pages we've got all the links to you as well, so our listeners can jump on at any time. And we wish you all the best for a very successful 2021. And, you know, we often promote New Zealand music, New Zealand authors on here, and we always say if we can shop local, we should. So here's a Kiwi company that we should be supporting, guys. So get in and get your audio books through New Zealand.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome. All the very best.
Cheers. Bye.
See you later.
That was great, hey, really different to have it happening here in New Zealand. You don't think about all those other things. I wonder if a certain Prime Minister's husband should be promoting his Kiwi products.
It's also good from a point of view for actors as well to know that, you know, that's a really good thing to do when they haven't got a show on.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of an actor in the room, we've got an actor, a singer, an entertainer, Mr. Elvis Presley, a.k.a. Jared Shirtcliffe. Welcome. Great to have you in here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So you've been busy today. Where have you been?
So I've just been at Elvis in the Park, which is in Henderson, and it's a day of just Elvis. there are six main performers, and I got to be one of them, so we sang two sets of Elvis, and, you know, there are new faces, and it's really cool, really fun. Good day.
Now, you're a very young Elvis, if I can say. I mean, obviously, this is radio, so audience is having to trust us here. Are you singing the early Elvis, or do you do the whole mix?
Well, I used to do the whole mix, and then I got advised to stay away from jumpsuits and stuff, as Elvis was, you know, 30s, 40s when he was doing that. So I stick to the 50s, younger Elvis.
Cool. Yeah. What made you start this? You know, it's quite unusual. How old are you?
I'm 17.
So for what? When did you first start?
I started, 3 years ago?
Yeah. Okay, so what or who inspired you into Elvis?
Well, my favourite movie at the time was Grease, and that's all 50s rock and roll, so I wanted to listen to more of that, and I came across a few Elvis songs, and I was like, hey, that's cool. So I listened to a lot more, and it just kept going.
Interesting, Emery says Grease. He's got a bit of a John Travolta look as well.
I think for those people that know Jared, at the moment he's got really freshly dyed black hair. So he definitely looks more John Travolta at the moment than he normally does.
Okay. Give away the trade secrets.
And another thing is the product that I have in my hair is actual hair grease. It's not some water-based stuff. So it'll take a few days to get out.
Nice. So, the things we do for the role.
Oh, eh? Definitely, yeah.
A good crowd today in Henderson?
Yeah, it was really good. Quite a few hundred, I'd say, yeah. And they all got up and danced and had fun and got photos and everything. It was really cool.
And how hard out is the Elvis following? Like, do the people coming to watch dress up as well? Or
Quite a few people do dress up, you know, rockabilly, old school. Not exactly, like, in jumpsuits and stuff. but, you know, old school things, it's really just that really cool atmosphere. There were classic cars as well, quite a lot of them. So it's, yeah.
So what have you done to train to be Elvis over these last 3 years? I mean, is it about just watching every bit of footage you can find?
Yeah, well, watching Elvis is really good, and a lot of people tell me not to, but watching other tribute artists is also a good thing. I used to get vocal lessons to help me with that, but I've found that just chilling out in my room singing is pretty all right, I guess. I don't know.
I'll ask the neighbours later. We'll give them a call. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you're limited to what you can find.
Mm.
It's not endless. Yes. How do you keep sort of keeping it fresh?
I mean, I guess learning new moves is a fun thing, and mixing them up in different songs. And usually when you sing like a set, it's usually like just a few songs. And Elvis had hundreds. I think he had 700 and something songs that he recorded. So there's a big selection to choose from, you know, depending on what you want to do.
And tell us about your research that you've done too. Become Elvis. I mean, it's the look as well as the sound, right?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of YouTube. I watch documentaries, and I'd sit down for hours and just watch things and read things. And if I thought of a question, I'd type it up on Google, and I've read biographies and everything. Just anything I can find, really.
What surprised you the most in your research about Elvis? What is something that perhaps we wouldn't know?
Oh, that's a hard one.
I didn't say this was going to be an easy night.
One of them. If you see some of the things that Elvis owned, it's more obvious. But one of his favorite colors was pink. He really loved pink. He had a pink Cadillac, and he had a pink jackets and shirts and all that. So that's cool.
And you've got a pink jacket.
Yeah. I've got my granny made it. I really love it. It's such a cool jacket, yeah.
And Granny said that you were quite particular as well about your pink jacket and how long it took you to make.
So when with costuming, I like to be quite as much as I can like the Elvis one. So I watched videos of other tribute artists with that jacket on, and I zoomed in and showed her everything. And yeah, so I was like, the pocket needs to be on an angle and things like that, you know.
And she said one of the things that she found hard, was whether it has one pleat or two pleats at the back.
Mm.
And she said that she had to do a lot of research and get hold of a pattern maker from those times to ask whether jackets would have one or two.
Yeah, originally we made it with two, and we didn't like it, so she completely redid the whole back panel to have one down the middle. So, you know, she made sure that, you know, like she did like a mock-up, she didn't sell it. And I was like, no, I think it needs one.
And I noticed lately in the last couple of videos that things that you've done, so you went live on the world thing for New Year's.
Yeah.
That you've also added to your costumes, your orange jacket.
Yeah. So one of my good friends, Johnny Angel, he's another tribute artist. He had a orange jacket, which is from the movie Clambake, the Elvis movie Clambake, and it didn't fit him. So I've done a concert with him recently and things like that, and he just gave it to me as a gift. So it was really cool, yeah. And a black sequin jacket as well, yeah.
Very cool.
So where do you want to take this? Like, where to next? Where does this go?
Next year, so 2022, hopefully I'm going to go to Parkes Elvis Festival in Australia, and maybe the Viva Elvis Festival. Well, they're competitions. And if there's the slightest possibility that I do win, then that'd take me to Ultimate Elvis in Memphis, which is the biggest and the official Elvis tribute competition. So if you win that, then you get signed with Elvis Presley Enterprises for that year, and so it's like big,
yeah, cool.
World tour and stuff.
So you're hoping for COVID to settle around the world so these things can happen?
Yeah, Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the moment, I'm just doing gigs around New Zealand. I just did one in Wellington a few weeks ago. It was just a little small bit of fun, you know. But yeah,
are you talking about Elvis Down Under?
No, there was another one. The guy that came second place, George, he was putting on a little gig, and he just flew me down, and I stayed at his house, and yeah.
That's cool. So you're 17. Are you still at school or have you finished?
Yeah, I'm just going into year 13.
Year 13?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're juggling all of this in your life?
Mm.
Yeah. What or who inspires you, apart from Elvis, obviously, but what took you down this path of thinking, actually, I really want to make this a big part of my life?
A lot of my friends, I guess, look up to me for it, and that's really cool. A lot of support and stuff that makes me want to keep doing it. At the start, it wasn't like that, though. Everyone was like, don't do Elvis. but there are a lot of people that are, I guess, supporting me, and that is something that really inspires me. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's just one person. I'd say that it's everyone cool. That's there.
Do you know what I love, Emma, is, you know, a 17-year-old who's bringing Elvis to his mates. It's getting this generation to hear some fantastic music. I mean, there must be other people out there that could be in a similar situation with different artists, but I just think it's so cool that mates are looking up to you with something that's, let's face it, quite old.
Mm. And when you see Jared performing, he does look like Elvis then.
Right, right.
Like there is a real likeness, and I suppose that's why you won New Zealand Down Elvis Down Under earlier this year.
Mm.
So tell us about that.
So there was a competition in October called Elvis Down Under. It's down in Upper Hutt. And there were two rounds. So the first round you sang one song, and then the second one you sang two. And then the second round only 10 people get through, and then there's a top three that are selected, and I managed to win, so that was really cool.
But it was what I found interesting with following that competition online was you were probably one of the only younger ones.
I think I was the only one doing a 50s Elvis. There were people doing Army Elvis, which is early 60s, but it's not exactly the exact same, you know, feel and vibes and stuff. It's quite a lot. I wouldn't say stiffer, but there's not all the different dance moves and things that Elvis did in the 50s, and yeah, it's, yeah.
And then, of course, this weekend you came second in the online competition for the festival as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so the Elvis Parks Festival, the one I'm hoping to go to next year, was not open, so they did an online one where we sent in a video, and my category, which was
Singing for Love,
yeah, I came second, so that was really cool.
Well done. God. Got your guitar in the car?
Yep.
We might be forcing him out into the car park at some point to get it. That's really cool. Do you ever think of taking on other artists as well, so you've got a repertoire to keep you, I guess, available for multiple things, or is your head like, no, let's do one and do one really well?
Well, I do like old music. Before it was Elvis, it was Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra for me. And I have still kept singing a bit of their songs. But, yeah, I don't really listen to too many other artists. I like Shawn Mendes, but I wouldn't say I would go to places to sing his songs, you know.
But as a singer, I suppose you can sing their songs in concerts as Jared Shurcliffe singing a song, not necessarily impersonating the person.
Definitely, you can do like a cover, yeah. And there are quite a few. If I did a concert like that, that'd be cool, yeah.
That's cool. We need to get Albert Chan from Vinyl Revival to meet him.
Definitely. He would be perfect for Vinyl Revival.
Naming all those artists. And now you do a bit of theatre as well.
Yeah, I've been doing theatre since I was about 10 years old. My first show was Annie, and I managed to get I did an audition for it, but they didn't have a rooster. So I went in and I did like a little thing, and they're like, yeah, you can be rooster. It was a double cast, and the other rooster, I'm still really close mates with him, so it's really cool. But I've been doing, I think there was a year that I did four shows in one year, but I don't think there's been a year where I haven't since I started.
What do you love about it?
Just the rehearsal process is amazing, the people that you meet, and being on stage is just incredible. The thrill that you get is just like nothing else.
Is it Joseph in his Technicolor Dreamcoat that has Elvis appear at some point and sing?
Well, yeah, Pharaoh sings, yeah. Sings like, like Elvis.
So there we go, so we need to find that one next.
I only found that out at the end of last year.
When you went to?
When I did Aladdin, there was one of the characters had a cape with an eagle on it, and I was like, hey, that kind of looks like Elvis's cape. And then the guy playing Aladdin, Josh, he was like, yeah, it is. It's from Joseph. And I was like, what?
So Jared also joined the Kiwi All-Stars in America in January. So that was from the musical theatre side rather than the Elvis side.
Nice.
Hmm. So tell us a little bit about going to America.
Oh, that was definitely an experience. We did a showing of Newsies from it was like a week-long workshop. And,
the pilot program?
Yeah, the pilot program. And so we did Newsies, and at the end of that, after we showed it, we only did one showing of it. So we learned the whole show in a week. That was really cool. And then after that, there was a audition for Kiwi All-Stars, and I did not know what it was. I didn't realize that it was to go to America, I don't even think. But I got in, and that was really cool. And we went to America in January, and we learnt a little bit of Mary Poppins, and we went to Atlanta.
Thanks, Mum.
Thanks, Mum. We went to Atlanta to a junior theatre festival, and there are thousands of people there, like thousands of kids, and I wouldn't say a competition, but it's just showing all these different shows, and it's really amazing. There's I don't think I've seen anything like it anywhere. It's the vibes and everything was just incredible. All these theatre kids.
And you were selected as a Celebration All-Star, weren't you, as well?
I got in America. So there were two people from each group that got to sing a song at one of the meetings, like one in front of all these thousands of kids. I don't think that it went very well, but that's all right. We all forgot the words. It was funny as, but it was really fun. We learnt it in like
half an hour or something.
Have you done Vegas,
Elvis,
or just been to Vegas?
Oh, have I been to Vegas? No, I really
the amount
want
of
to.
Elvises that are in Vegas is quite something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we only went to New York, Atlanta, and then California, L.A.
Right, you'll need to put Vegas on your bucket list.
Yeah, and I want to go to Graceland too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to take a music break and get our next guest on the phone. The reason why I mentioned Vegas is because there's this amazing version of Celine Dion singing with Elvis, which is all done through an incredible hologram.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough, Emma, to sit in the audience of Celine's show.
Oh, wow.
And the first hologram she uses is actually of herself. So you're sitting there and she starts singing and she walks past you. Before she walks past you, you see her on stage. She's singing on stage. Then she walks past you and duets with herself and you realise, hang on, one of these aren't real. And it's the most perfect hologram ever. Then she sings with Stevie Wonder and Elvis Presley. And here's that number, excuse the applause, it's come from a live version. Celine Dion, and of course Elvis Presley. And like I say, Emma, to see that done on stage with a hologram is pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing what technology can do for us now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Frank Sinatra, that was the other one she does. That's brilliant as well. All right, we're going to let our young Elvis take a little break, and we are heading to Christchurch now, and we've got on the line Imogen Stone, who's going to chat to us all about what she's up to with the Bread and Circus Buskers Festival. Good evening, Imogen.
Ooh, hello, hello. How are you guys?
Good. Welcome to the show. And am I right, you're from Laser Kiwi and the Biggest Little Circus?
Yes, yes. I'm from both of those entities. Excellent. Yes, so one is more indoor and one is more outdoor.
Great. Yes. And both are performing at this festival?
Yeah, they are. So, in fact, this will be probably the first time Laser Kiwi has been outside. So that's one of the works that we're doing in the backyard of Buskers.
Ah.
So this is like a sneaky treat surprise this year. So I think people have gone into the draw and four people will win some form of performance in their backyard. And Laser Kiwi is one of them.
Fantastic. And Laser Kiwi is, there's three of you, right?
Yes. Yeah, so both shows have three of us, and it's the same three. So brothers Zane and Deg, and myself, Imogen. Yeah. So that's us. So both are like circus and comedy, but with, yeah, just different takes for the different sort of performance environments.
And whereabouts are you all based in New Zealand?
The three of us are based in Wellington. Yeah, so that's home. I would normally be there about 6 months a year on a regular year, so I assume we're going to be there a little bit more this year.
He is hoping. We chatted to the festival director, Scott, last week, who sort of filled us all in about all the amazing things happening all over Christchurch. But this backyard one really caught Emma and I's attention as something really cool, something very different.
Yeah, honestly, the festival is huge. Like, the lineup this year has really, like, blown us away. What they've managed to do with the artists that they spontaneously had available, you know. It's gonna be really awesome performing this lineup. The backyard performance is just like one of the cool ideas that they've had to like integrate us more with the community.
And what do you think the hardest thing is going to be about with performing in someone's backyard? What's going to be tricky?
I think it's the unknown, isn't it? It's like everyone in the audience is going to know each other, but we're not going to know them yet. You know, so we'll be slightly behind the curve for the first couple of minutes until we figure out who they are. Or I suppose perhaps it only feels like that because we haven't been told which backyard we're performing in yet.
Oh, wow.
I think I'd be more concerned about the fact that there could be a clothesline, there could be a tree, there could be a bush.
A dog.
Yeah, how do you know what you're going to be performing in?
We've dealt with most of those curveballs before. I think being street performers, you end up being pretty malleable and up for anything. And, like, I don't know, I feel like that's where the magic comes from with street performance, you know. I remember a show we did last year down in Christchurch. There were these two absolutely stunning twins, like iconic. They should have their own Instagram, like outrageous. They were probably 4 years old and they were very, very ginger, and they were just scooting around, and they were scooting all through our audience. They scooted through the stage and we kind of incorporated them in our finale, and it just was magic, you know, and you can't make that happen in a theatre. There's not enough room.
So, yeah. Why street performing, Imogen? What took you there, or why is that what you want to do?
It's one part of the puzzle for us of making it work in this industry, and I think it probably started out not as a means to an end, but it was an accessible way for us to create work and meet audiences and be circus performers at a lower cost. You know, we didn't need the theatre hire, we didn't need a technician, you know, it was something that we could do off our own back. And that's how it started, as an almost a convenience thing. And then as soon as we realised what it was and how special it could be, yeah, we loved it. So we made shows that were more specifically for street, that encourage the mayhem, I think.
And what have you done to train to be able to be part of this group? What's your training?
So I'm an aerialist, so I specialise in both in aerial silk. Zane and Dave are jugglers, so they're the best club passers in the country. So that's the... they kind of look like bowling pins, if you aren't familiar with juggling clubs. So my background is definitely from a technical circus side, but I think that being a technician of a skill and being a performer are two different things, and I think only once you hit the stage enough do you realise what you find more fun. You know, is it getting a big clap for your hardest skill, or is it actually, like, just making people laugh? So I think street is very accessible in that way. You know, you can see everyone's faces, you can see what people really enjoy. So I think it got quite addictive, really.
And what can audiences expect from the two different shows?
I would almost recommend you could hop on social media and have a look at the Biggest Little Circus, and that will probably give you the best possible idea of what we'll do. It's like we perform beneath and on top of like a large aerial rig, which is like a giant swing set essentially, and you can expect some pretty awesome aerial pieces and just chaos. We run around in leotards and we play really good music, and we get, I don't know, we see a new dance move every show from an audience volunteer. It's just fun and wild, and I think we all get to really shine. Like, we've put some really difficult skills on that stage. I think people will be blown away by it. And it will be our third year bringing that show down to Christchurch for this festival. And people keep coming back. We've got a little fan club.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah.
And
people can expect us to have levelled up. Yeah.
And if we can wave our magic wand and have a COVID free year, what's your 2021 plans as a team?
If there was no COVID.
If you're going to have a great year this year, what would you be doing?
Oh, we can have a great year with COVID in the mix as well. I think if COVID wasn't here, we would be heading straight to Australia after Brisbane Circus.
Right.
And we would normally do the Fringe Circuit, so we would tour Labour Kiwi type work, so in indoor venues across there. And then we probably would have come home for a bit and probably made some new work or just trained, and then we would have headed over to the UK to perform in the Fringe Festival.
That's cool.
In the Edinburgh Fringe. Yeah, so that would have been our year. I think it's going to look a bit different.
And why the name Laser Kiwis? Where did that come from?
The show was originally made. It's been redeveloped and redeveloped. And we've actually made a sequel now, which is, so excited about it. Anyway, the original, so Laser Kiwi, we made back in 2017, and it was inspired by the Flag referendum. So do you guys remember the...
Yes, I did wonder, yes.
So that was... wasn't called Laser Kiwi. That flag design was actually called Fire the Laser, so it's inspired by the flag, but we didn't directly take their name. I guess it's just the fact that Kiwis can be really skillful and also take the mickey out of themselves. And I think we just really enjoyed that. And the fact that it felt like it could have been a real option for the country's flag. I thought that, we found that just quite, just a brilliant thought. We ran with that. We actually met the person who designed the flag. We did the New Zealand Comedy Festival. We were up in Auckland and we met them and got their blessing to sort of keep running with the name, which was very wholesome interaction.
So our audience listening can head to breadandcircus.co.nz to get all the information about this festival. Where can people head just to find out about Laser Kiwi or the Biggest Little Circus?
Social media. Easy. Yep, so Facebook or Instagram for either of those. Definitely dive onto the Bread and Circus website. It's a huge program. It's really exciting and it's spread out all throughout the city. Street is so wonderful. You know, people can, it's just a super accessible way to see really high quality performance. The Festival Gala show on the opening weekend hosted by the Top Twins. That's going to be outrageous.
Great.
So we'll be jumping in that lineup as well.
Ah, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, very, Great. very much looking forward to sharing the stage with them.
Great start to a festival, kicking it off like that.
Yeah, isn't it?
Well,
yeah.
Emma's already gone and...
The team has nailed it.
Yeah, Emma's already gone and plugged you on all of our social media as well while we've been chatting, so our listeners can jump onto Kick Arts and get all the information about Laser Kiwi, Biggest Little Circus, and Bread and Circus Festival.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, oh, good wonderful. Luck. Good luck for your performances and for your run, and have a fantastic 2021.
Thank you so much. You too. I think we're in for a good one.
You are indeed. All right, take care. Thanks for chatting. We're going to head now to one of the top played music videos of 2020, courtesy of Vivo, with over 3 billion views. Here's One Republic's Counting Stars.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. I see this life like a swinging vine, swing my heart across the line, in my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. I feel something so right, but doing the wrong thing. I feel something so wrong, but doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could lie. Everything that kills me makes me feel alive. I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. And I feel it burn down this river every turn. Hope is off for letter work. Make that money, watch it burn. Cold, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. And I feel something so wrong. We're doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could lie. Everything that drowns me makes me wanna fly. I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Sing in the river, the lessons I learned. Take that money, watch it burn. Sing in the river, the lessons I learned. Take that money, watch it burn. Sing in the river, the lessons I learned. Take that money, watch it burn. Sing in the river, the lessons I learned. Everything that kills me makes me feel alone.
Yeah.
remember the lessons I've learned.
A dramatic way to end a song. Over 3 billion views.
Crazy, eh?
Oh, how will you know you've been successful? Jared, 3 billion views? No pressure?
Well, if I get that one day, then I'll know I've done something right.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
It's about knowing social media, though, eh?
Yeah, I guess that's sort of, you know, Elvis wasn't around in social media time. Yeah. Is there an opportunity, though, for you to do something really cool and different for your generation of people who do hook on completely into social media?
What you did at New Year's.
Yeah. Yeah, doing live streams worldwide, that'll definitely help with something. It just depends on what I'm doing and finding the appropriate audience for that. Depends if I'm doing Elvis or my own things or whatever.
What was that like doing that online virtual in comparison to, like, today performing to a audience?
It's definitely a lot different sitting in your dining room singing songs than on a stage. Mm-hmm. I was performing to mum and a few other family members. So it's not as energetic, I don't think, because you're singing to a phone. But, you know, different people like it, you know.
Is mum your biggest fan or your biggest critic?
I would say fan. A lot of the time she doesn't say, you did that bad. but, yeah, no, she's very supportive and I love her so much for it.
That's awesome.
And your granddad's pretty funky too, because he gets up and he's probably the first one to dance every time, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And every time he requests me to sing Sweet Caroline, that's when he really gets up and dances.
That's cool. So we've been a bit rough because we didn't prep Jared for this, but, you know, once we started talking, we figured if he's come from a concert, he must have a guitar in the car. So we've made him go out and get it. And what are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing Love Me Tender.
Excellent. Now, we'll have to do a little bit of live mixing as we go, so bear with it, audience. But here is Elvis Presley.
I'm just getting the social media ready.
Love
just
Me Tender. Once
wait, give me
Emma
a second.
Has social
got
media
it.
Ready, and take it away.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfilled for my darling. Oh, that's the wrong chord. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me dear, tell me you are mine. I'll be yours through all the years, till the end of time. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfilled. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Something like that, yeah.
Ah, oh, nice one.
Woohoo! I would clap, but I'm recording, so I'm not clapping. Woohoo!
There was a third verse, but I forgot it.
That's okay. You've had a long day in the sun, and we appreciate that taste. You certainly got the voice. Are there any favourite songs that you just absolutely love singing?
Yeah, I like singing Viva Las Vegas. That's a fun one, especially when everyone's up and dancing. Yeah. Don't, that's a real slow one. I love that one. I've loved it since I started singing Elvis. An American Trilogy, although that's 70s Elvis, I do enjoy singing it at home, even though the last note is very terrible when I sing it. It's a high note, real hard, but yeah, I still fail anyway, but...
And ones that you avoid?
Jailhouse Rock. I avoid that one. It's right on that point where your voice... Like, if you sang higher, it would be fine, and if you sang lower, it would be fine, because you use those two different kind of tones in the voice, but it's right in the middle, and it just my voice just gets shredded. It doesn't work.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Outside of Elvis world now, if we just chat to you as Jared, what's the next plans for you once you leave school? Where's the journey going
to
take you?
Well, I'm planning to go to Wellington... to probably Victoria University studying musical theatre, and hopefully the biggest plan one day is to get on Broadway, maybe, if I can.
In a theatre, so theatre side
yeah,
of things, yep.
Yeah. I want performing, live performance, to be part of my life forever, hopefully. And I've also started making my own music, which is cool. My friends really enjoy that when I show them. I was at a party once, and I just grabbed the guitar, and I was just singing it to all my friends. They're like, "Oh yeah,
cool."
So
your own music.
Yeah.
What kind of a style is that?
Not Elvis. I don't know. That's a hard one to explain. Really, I haven't really categorized it. I guess it's nothing really out of the ordinary. It's more of a modern day kind of pop kind of. I don't know.
So what are you writing about?
Different things. My favourite song at the moment is called Battle for Two that I'm probably not going to release for a few months. I need to release another one first. But basically that one is, like it explains, so someone, not the person singing, is having some kind of struggle. And the song doesn't say it, so whoever listens to it can put it into their own life. But, you know, the words are like, it's a battle for two, we're a team, so let's fight like teams do and stuff like that. It's kind of, you know, like a song, like if you sang it to someone, then it's saying, like, I'm there for you kind of thing.
Cool.
I don't know, yeah.
And you take music at school as well, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, in year 13, if our music teacher just left to another school. So if we have a music teacher, then hopefully I'll be taking music, tech, and studies. So two on my curriculum, so that'll be fun.
So yeah. What do you do in music tech? Is that learning how to mix?
Yeah, that's mixing, and that's all, when there's a show, that's all the big soundboards and things like that, and it's also recording in a studio, all that side, the teacher explained to me before he left anyway.
Has school got a recording studio?
I wouldn't say a recording studio. We've got a room with a bunch of computers, and one of them's got like a fancy microphone and stuff, but that's about the best. It's got one of those microphone shields that goes around the back of it to stop extra noise coming in, but yeah.
Cool.
Mm. Do you record your own music at home or at school?
When I started, I was going to do it at school, and then I got a laptop, and that just changed it all. I've done everything just sitting in my room. Before I had a desk, I was just on my bed breaking my neck going, ooh. But, I've got FL Studio, which is a digital audio workshop, which is like we make music, and it's really good, yeah.
Cool. Dream role in theatre? If you could, you know, get that dream in Broadway, what would the role be?
I'd like to go back to when we did that week-long workshop, and I think I'd like to play Jack Kelly from Newsies. That's my favourite Broadway show, I think, Newsies. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him in that.
He was very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, we'll let you take a drink break and a pause. Emma, you're heading to Christchurch.
I am.
And Wellington first, then Christchurch?
No, Christchurch first.
Then Wellington. Yeah. I'll get it right 1 week.
It's all right. So the pilot program in Christchurch starts next Monday, not tomorrow, but in a week. So we've got 27 students coming to Christchurch to work with myself, Andy Manning and Hilary Mulder on a yet-to-be-released Broadway junior show, which we're not allowed to say the name of unfortunately, due to publicity, etc., and royalties and rights. And then the following week, we're off to Wellington, where we've got 68 kids at the moment coming, and it's myself, Mark Bradley, Cherie Moore, Katrina George, and Mark Stamper working with the kids there on two shows.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it's a pretty full-on couple of weeks, I must say.
And in the midst of this, you're going to check out some of the Christchurch Buskers Festival
back. I'm actually wondering about going along to their gala performance on that Sunday night, because the top tens are pretty funky. I'm quite keen to see that. So if you're listening, Bread and Circus, and you want to review it in the audience, let us know. But also my son Callum's working it, I think. I think he's going to be in the bar doing front of house stuff.
Nice. You just mentioned reviewing, so good time to mention that as we launch into our 2021 season of shows. We have obviously our team of book reviewers, theatre reviewers, art exhibitions. So if you're someone listening that would like not only to promote but get some feedback on your work, send us some information and some tickets to kickarts1@gmail.com. We're also taking bookings now right into the year. We're a busy few weeks ahead, so make sure you get in and promote your Fringe Festival shows.
And Pride Festival.
Yeah.
There's the Pride shows as well.
That's
so
right.
Fringe and Pride both kind of overlap slightly.
Yep.
And, you know, remember last year we had some nights where we had 9 different guests and it was crazy.
I know. And then we can't give you a big plug. So get in early, send us that email so we can get you on. Next week we're going to be talking to the Jubilation Choir, and we're also going to be chatting to the show at Tap Hat called Night of the Queer, plus a few other things as well. So get in nice and early by emailing us, kickarts1@gmail.com. Our dear friend Gabriel Bond has put out a nice little mashup. So let's take a music break with a bit of Gabriel Bond.
Saturday nights, Newberry cigarillos, swishes make my throat hurt. Rolling OCBs on the side for me, light them up and let them both burn. Family feud, saying mom's confused, I'm for sure she doesn't want to learn. But daddy's gone, said he's never home, and wishing only makes it worse. Certain dreams that you gotta keep, 'cause they'll only know what you let them see. And all the things that I know that your parents don't, they don't care like I do, nowhere like I do. And all the things that I know that your parents don't, they don't care like I do. Got a fast car, I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we can make a deal, maybe together we can get somewhere, and any place is better. Started from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. So remember we were driving, driving in your car, speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights laying out before us, and your arms felt nice right around my shoulder. I had a feeling that I belong. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone.
Wonderful Gabriel Bond, as always, with a nice mashup there of Saturday Nights and Fast Cars. Jared, are you into Saturday Nights and Fast Cars?
We live quite far away, though, so, you know, what are Saturday Nights like down in TA?
I'd literally just either I'm on my laptop watching YouTube or I'm on the Xbox. So not very interesting. Or I'm sitting in my room strumming on guitar or on the piano or whatever.
What kind of things do you like to watch on YouTube? Other than Elvis.
I like to watch people, like celebrities getting interviewed. I don't know why I find that quite interesting. I watch a lot of Minecraft, even though I'm way too old for that.
So you watch people playing Minecraft?
Yeah, I watch people playing and building on it. It's really interesting to see what other people can actually build. Some of the things are incredible. What else do I watch? There's a YouTuber named Markiplier. He's really incredible. Some of his videos, anyway.
And are you a movie watcher or are you more a TV series watcher?
None of it, really.
Neither?
The only movies that I really watch will be Elvis. Sometimes I'll sit down and go on Disney Plus and watch that. But other than that, it's not really a lot that I watch. Yeah.
Cool. And is there any sports in your life or anything, or is it all performance?
No, all performance, yeah.
What do you think makes a good song?
I guess, in a way, for someone to be able to listen to it and relate to it, that bringing it to a personal level is very good. Or to me it's not really the case with Elvis. A lot of the songs I don't really think about on a personal level, like Baby Let's Play House and things like that. I'm not really but
you're probably not quite old enough to be playing house with someone.
No, definitely not.
And why would you when you've got Mum?
Why do you think Elvis's songs though have stood the test of time?
I guess it's because he was, John Lennon said, before Elvis there was nothing. And in a way, I guess that's true because he was one of the first to create that kind of style of rockabilly rock and roll compared to all the blues and jazz and stuff over the time. There were others, there was Little Richard and Fats Domino and stuff, but as far as I know, he was the first, big one, you know, with all of his moves and everything that he did. No one really did that, and that made a huge impact, and I think that no one's really lived up to that yet.
Well, he broke a lot of kind of rules, didn't he, with his
definitely.
Moves as well.
Everyone was trying to get him off TV. They were smashing his... All the people older than his generation hated him.
I've brought up the Elvis quiz, Emma.
Oh, should we quiz him?
I want to test him, so, you know, see how well he knows. So what famous rock star once snuck on the grounds of Graceland in an unsuccessful attempt to meet Elvis? Was it Billy Joel, Axl Rose, Bruce Springsteen, or John Bon Jovi?
I know Bruce Springsteen loved Elvis. There was a quote, I don't remember what it was, but he loved Elvis, so that is something possible.
The trouble with this quiz is it doesn't tell you to get to the end of the 50 of them. So you could pretty
well
say anything.
Bruce. I'm going to say Bruce.
So you say Bruce. And you said, what colour was Elvis's first Cadillac before he painted it pink? You mentioned it earlier.
He did. He did get it painted pink. I think it was black when he got it.
Okay.
I think.
And what song was based on the Italian folk song O Sol Mio?
It's Now or Never. That was terrible. It's Now or Never.
Absolutely. Give him that. You've still got your guitar. Do you want to give us a little bit of a contrast now, something very different to Elvis, some of the music that you were writing?
Yeah, okay. So this is a song that I wrote, and what's it called? It's called It Hurts Me, which I'm gonna say it right now. The first three words, It Hurts Me, are exactly the same tune as an Elvis song called It Hurts Me, but the ideas are completely different. I hope. So it sounds... It hurts me to just sit on the phone and you're talking his name to me. You don't have to tell me. It hurts me. Oh God, it hurts me. And I feel it, I can feel my heart crack when I whisper a breath of your name. Please just don't leave me lonesome, it hurts me, oh it hurts me. Something like that.
That's nice, that's a different sound. Yeah.
Yeah, well you notice in Jared's voice, we go from being that really bassy Elvis sound back up into his.
More regular... And even musical theatre is different again, so it's
Is it hard switching that voice, especially after a day of playing Elvis and here we are at 9 o'clock at night asking you to sing something different?
I don't think so. I mean, if I've been singing a bunch of Elvis songs during my live stream performances, I had a little bracket where I was singing a few Dean Martin songs, and I found at the start of the song I'd be singing in an Elvis tone, and then after I finished the Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra stuff, at the start of the next Elvis song I'd be singing it like Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, and I'd be like, wait a second. But after you know, 10 minutes or something, then I can just do whatever, really. Yeah.
Thought about creating your own concert, your own night that's just you? Which could be, you know, Act One Elvis, Act Two You. I should be looking at your manager in the room, but it just, that seems like the next logical step.
Yeah, when I've got more material, I'd like to do something like that. I have in the past done a concert fundraising for when I went to America, and that was called The Three Stages of Elvis. And that was two shows. They were meant to be 2 hours, but they ended up being 2.5. So the first little set was 50s Elvis, and then I did a gospel set. And while I was changing for those, I had some friends come on and sing, and so the audience isn't sitting there like, and then I came on and did an hour set with a terrible Amazon cheap jumpsuit. It was way too big, so my granny took it in because she's a seamstress, yeah.
Why do you think there was so much controversy and thoughts around his death?
A lot of people said that it was really sudden. He was literally a day away from flying out to do another tour, and people thought that that it was just really out of nowhere. A lot of people thought that he'd live forever, I guess, because he was such a huge out of this world image. A lot of people thought that he would be forever, I guess.
I suppose it's a little bit like Freddie Mercury as well, isn't it?
Do you think he was happy?
In the later years of his life, I don't think so. He had in 1973, he divorced Priscilla, which was his wife. And he became, I guess, really closed off to a lot of people apart from this small friend group, like an inner party kind of thing. He loved performing. I know that he always loved doing that, but I think personally and in his day-to-day life, he sometimes might have been, you know, not in the best of moods, I guess.
What do you think you're going to do in the future to stay grounded? You know, like if you are getting 4 billion likes on your posts and things like that, what are you going to do to stay Jared?
Definitely, staying close to the friends that I've had now will bring me back it'll remind me of now to keep me kind of in that feeling of when I'm not, if I ever get famous like that. But I don't know, it's kind of hard. It's a hard question when you don't know exactly what it's like in that role, but I guess we'll see what I do.
What do you take from his life that you put into your own?
I like how he treated everyone with the same kind of respect, no matter who it was, anyone. That's another thing that I think everyone loved about him. No matter who you were, he'd give you love and respect and everything, and that's something that I hope that I have forever.
When do you think his prime was? What at what point or what songs maybe our listeners would know that you'd go, actually, that was when Elvis was absolutely at his peak?
To me, and I think to a lot of other people, there are three or four different times. So there's the 50s, 1956, I guess, is when he was the biggest in the 50s before he went to the army. And then he did a bunch of movies, and that's where he kind of dropped. And then he did the 68 comeback special with the leather suit and everything. That's also where the song with the Celine Dion was from. And then he was famous again, you know, like he was in the 50s. And then after that, he started touring in Vegas. And I guess those three are the biggest times. And also the Aloha from Hawaii, where he had the eagle jumpsuit, that really famous jumpsuit. I think that, because that still hasn't been beaten with a concert being broadcast around the world, I think over 1 billion people saw it live around the world. It was crazy. I could be definitely wrong, though. But
have you got any interest in collecting Elvis memorabilia?
Yes.
What have you got so far?
My neighbor gave me 6. They're in a frame, these vinyl records. There's Jailhouse Rock and Blue Suede, all these different ones, and they're really cool. I like collecting posters and things like that. I've got a few calendars as well, but I use them as at like the there's usually a poster inside that you just put it up on your wall. Books, movies, and CDs and everything. Yeah.
Do you think this is something that you're going to have to tell like a future wife that the house is going to be decorated like Graceland?
And will you get married with an Elvis impersonator marrying you in a Vegas chapel?
That ain't happening. No, definitely not. I think I wouldn't want my entire house to be filled with Elvis. I think there'd probably be a room, maybe, with Elvis
in it. A studio or something,
yeah, definitely.
So it wouldn't be a man cave, it would be... An Elvis,
yeah,
Elvis cave,
or even like a recording studio would be cool because then you're surrounded with the person that I guess inspires me the most musically.
Mm.
Yeah,
just got visions of him picking up his date in a pink Cadillac. Yeah,
come here, honey.
Yeah, exactly. Who do you think in the modern music world is the equivalent of a modern day Elvis? Not because of their style or something, but the way they're taking the world, perhaps. So
I think some people disagree with me, but I think Billie Eilish, she's very quickly gone from this. She sang a song and put it on SoundCloud, and within 3 years, she's got 4 Grammys and crazy amounts of fame. They did this thing where she got interviewed each year at the exact same date, and her followers on Instagram went from like a few hundred thousand to like 6 million to 40 million the next year, and it's just crazy. That I think is with the getting so much fame so quickly, I think that's a comparison, I guess.
It would be quite interesting though to have Elvis alive now though and see with social media because what you're saying about Billy, I mean, that's quite social media driven and technology driven. I wonder what would happen now if it wasn't just movies or touring. What would Elvis be like now? I wonder what his Instagram and Facebook would be.
Do you mean
like
to say like as if he was already alive way back then and he's now like 80 years old with Instagram or when he was born?
If you picked up the 50s and you put it now into 2020 with
all the technology.
He loved his fans, so he probably would have loved technology.
Yeah.
He would have loved interacting with them.
I think with that, I mean, if you had all the other artists around him, I think the head start wouldn't be as much as it was because all the other artists would have their own social medias like they do today, making it harder for the new artists to come through. But, you know, I think that what he did would still, you know, with his new styles of music and all that.
Mm. Just tell the audience again how old you are.
17.
I feel like I'm talking to someone in their late 20s. You know, like his perception on Elvis, on music and everything. Yeah, huge credit to you. Hey, let's take a quick Elvis break with a bit of Can't Help Falling in Love. Then after that, we'll let our audience know how they can track Jared down to enjoy some of their own Elvis.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be? if I can't help falling in love with you. Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be.
So if you just finished that song, Jared, how much do you pre-rehearse and script in regards to between numbers?
So some of the times I'll just say this next song is this, or even just not say anything and just let the next song start. But sometimes I'll, you know, say a little thing. I like to take inspiration off how Elvis talked and what he said. My favorite example is before singing Blue Suede Shoes, in 1956, he once said, this next song is called Grandma, Get Out of the Stables. You're told to be horsing around, you know, something like that. And it makes the audience all laugh, and they really get surprised by it, especially if it's a new audience. I generally don't do it to the same audience, so I'll be like, But, yeah.
I suppose that's part of being an impersonator, though. You need to keep it through, stay in character from start to finish,
yeah,
right?
And I do it, but I don't know if it's a totally good thing, is like trying to do an accent, because if you do it wrong, it can be kind of, I guess, in a way, disrespectful or whatever, or come out sounding terrible. But, yeah.
What do you do to get in the mood on show day?
First up, when I do my hair, that's a big thing.
How long does that take?
Anywhere from 10 minutes to half an hour, usually, depending on if there's no grease in it, it'll take longer because I need to put it all back in. But this stuff takes a few days to wash out. So if I've got a few days of shows in a row, then all I got to do is wet my hair, then towel dry it, and then put new stuff in while it's damp, and then comb it into place. Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. And it's real grease, so it stays on your hands and it gets everywhere. I usually wipe it on my pants. Mum doesn't know that, but now she does.
So
I'm sure Mum does know that, because she's probably the one that has to wash it out of your pants.
So what else do you do to get show ready?
I listen to a lot of Elvis when I'm doing my hair, when we're driving to wherever it is. If it's not Elvis, if it's theatre, then I'll, you know, rehearse lines or start talking in that accent before I get there sometimes. When I'm talking to people backstage, though, I don't, because I'm like, shut up.
Have you ever let Elvis come out by mistake when you're meant to be playing some other role?
Yes. In Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, there was a song, Hushabye Mountain, and Emma was the musical director, and she said that a lot of the stuff I was singing was very kind of Elvis-like, and she was like, stop.
Yeah. I said, sing it as Jared, not, well, sing it as
Yeah, because that was a time where his Elvis pops. Was really a big thing. I was listening to him every day, you know, during rehearsals even, when I definitely shouldn't have been.
So what's next on the calendar for you? You finished Elvis in the Park today. What's next?
I've got a gig with Johnny Ain. Oh, no, this Thursday I'm going to my grandparents' retirement village and singing there for an hour. That'll be fun. And then I've got a gig with another tribute artist, Johnny Angel, next month, on the 12th of February.
Where's that? Titirangi RSA. Titirangi RSA. I'm hearing through the vibes of the room.
Yeah, at Titirangi RSA, so be there or be square.
And how can people book if they want to come to Titirangi RSA? Do they contact Titirangi RSA?
Yep, book through there.
There we go. Good. And what about if people wanted their own private Elvis performance? Well, that sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it? If someone was having a function and they wanted Elvis there.
Yeah, that's better.
All right, well for, my mum is my manager currently, so...
Oh, usually, currently. Watch out, Maria.
Yeah,
he's getting ready to bump you.
Well, today someone's trying to... yeah, you got to get a messenger? No, got to get a manager, but I've already got one, so... So my mum's either through Messenger at Maria Shirtcliffe, so Maria, M-A-R-I-A, then S-H-I-R-T-C-L-I-F-F-E, or mariashirt@gmail.com, or through a mobile number 02-011-758-244. And I've also got my own social media, so Jared Shirtcliffe on Facebook, or... J-A-R-R-O-D, because everyone spells it J-A-R-E-D. And then I've got Instagram, which is... I'll just give you the one that's got links to my other two. So that's Jared as Elvis. I'm pretty sure that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Instagram, yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. Emma will have that up on Kick Art's page as well.
Yeah, tagged into our posts at the moment.
Fantastic. And you're not on YouTube at the moment,
no,
but that'll need to come in.
Yeah.
In order. It's funny how it's done 360. The guests we've had on here over the last few months, YouTube's come back again as that number one place people are going to find people, more so than the Facebooks and things. They're searching on YouTube. So you can be comfortable with getting your videos up.
Yeah, I did have a YouTube. I posted a few videos singing, and I didn't like them, so I deleted the channel. But... I want to start doing proper covers and everything now.
Yep. Gabriel Bond, who we played earlier tonight, he's just set up a microphone in his room and is doing YouTubes of his songs just to keep his followers and listeners happy in between him releasing music.
Mm.
So it really good, and I was watching some of the comments popping up on there today, and people were, you know, in there in seconds saying, this is great, can't wait for your next number. So it's definitely something to think about.
But like our friend James as well.
Yeah,
James Hunter,
definitely.
Who Jared's met before at Junior Theatre Festivals.
Yeah, YouTube's really good for that. Look, it's been great to chat to you, and as I said earlier, I can't believe you're only 17, so good luck with your final year of school.
Thank you.
Amidst that, and for whatever theatre path may head your way with a bit of Elvis along the way.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It definitely is.
And when you're ready to release that song professionally, make sure you release it on Kick Arts on a Sunday night.
Definitely will be.
So, Emma, another week.
Yeah, when does Kids for Drama holiday program start?
We kick off on the 18th, week-long program with AUT in Blockhouse Bay. So a busy week, but one more week this week of just sort of easing back into life, starting to think about shows coming up and rehearsals and schedules and auditions. And, yeah, that head suddenly switches in, eh? And then you're away.
Definitely. My registrations are open for Stage Antics. So anyone wanting performing arts lessons, five locations now in Auckland, because we're in Manurewa, Pukekohe, Howick, Onehunga and Takapuna.
Brilliant. And make sure if you want to come on the show, you send us an email, kickarts1@gmail.com, so we can schedule you in, especially if you have a Fringe Festival show coming up or a Pride Festival show. We want to make sure we get those bookings in. We're going to leave you with an Elvis medley, of course, because that's been the night, with a bit of Heartbreak Hotel, Hound Dog and All Shook Up from his 68 comeback special. Have a fantastic week. Safe travels down the line. Emma, say hi to those buskers.
I will.
And make sure you always
kick some arts.
Well, my baby, love me. Well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's I'm all shook up.